All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Glen Arbor. Glad you're here this morning on this snowy weekend. And today's a day where we're going to also celebrate the breaking of bread. So we're going to talk about being alone. And what does God say when we might feel alone or feel lonely? And first, we're going to worship in spirit and truth. Let's do that in unity as we invite others to come and join us. Lord, we praise you and thank you so much for your loving kindness. Ask that you bless the music team right now as they lead us in worshiping you. And we ask that we turn our eyes to you and you alone, for there is no one else. In your name we pray.
Morning, everyone. Wanted to highlight a few announcements for you. The first one is it snowed last night. This is our second snowstorm by December 11th. Kind of unusual for this early in the year. We might have three by the end of today. So, lucky you. just wanted to highlight, believe it or not, the Christmas season is here. And we are having three Christmas services. December 18th. Is that next Sunday? That's next Sunday. A week from today is our family Christmas service. Because we know everyone will be in town for that. So we're having special drama and music. And then we're having a Christmas Eve service on Christmas Eve, December 24th at 7:30 p.m. We're planning on a candlelight service. And then we're also having a small, intimate Christmas Day service. We're going to gather around like the wise men did and recognize Christ coming on December 25th. So something a little more intimate on the 25th. So if you can put that in your planning, you're all aware of those. Wanted to do a special thank you for all that goes into just doing a lot of our events. Our Awana fundraisers this year went really well to try to raise money for our Awana program, so thank you for everyone who helped out with that. And actually, the biggest thing I heard about, which was all of the Christmas decorating that went around in the church. Thank you for everyone who helped out with that. That was a great time. The last announcement for today is we are doing Christmas caroling on December 21st. If you can put that in your calendar. For some people, that is the last school day, depending on which school district you're in, of this year, 2016. So if you're coming to that, there's information on what to bring, what to wear for that, and the 21st, Wednesday. So that is all for not my announcements today. We're going to have the ushers come forward and take the offering. This is a time where we honor the Lord with how he's blessed us financially. And children may go off to Sunday school. Thank you.
All right. Good morning, everyone. And happy snow day. Happy many things. One of the things I was reading about in Faith Walkers today was the story of how Paul had an eye disease, or we think he had an eye disease. We don't actually know what it is, but we'll get to test that today because I've been sick for like 2.5 weeks, and now it's in my eyes. And so we'll see if this is any more inspiring or less inspiring. We'll get to really see what Lord's grace is. It really sufficient today? And we're actually ending a series on what does God say when I feel. And we've talked about feel like a failure or feel like doomed, worthless, unwanted, and overwhelmed. And today it's what does God say when we feel alone. And it's Christmas time, and a lot of people can feel actually alone on Christmas. They can be, whether they're around lots of family or they're by themselves, they can feel alone or lonely. Even though they're amidst a group of people. Now, in all the teachings, we've done a definition of what is the particular feeling that we're feeling of, and so I looked that up too. Alone, it's having no one else present. Okay, that seems pretty easy. On one's own. For today, we're going to talk about it's more to be lonely or alone, and being lonely and alone are really two different things. And we'll talk about those differences. Sometimes we seek to be alone or by ourselves, and it's different than feeling alone or feeling lonely. One is a condition, and the other is our perception of that condition, right? So, and they're not always the same. So what I thought, you know, I was looking at this whole series, and what I did was I gathered all the different teachings over the last several weeks, and I thought, wow, each one of these apply to what we're talking about. And it really, you could take any one of them and apply them to the other subject. For example, if we talked about feeling unwanted, we could apply the teaching about worthlessness and some of the aspects that were talked about there to those feelings as well. And really, wherever we're at, whatever our condition, all of these things apply. So what I did was I really took everybody else's teaching and applied it here. And you think, well, does that seem like kind of a ripoff? And really, yeah. But I thought it was so good. I really liked everybody's, and I thought, let's go ahead and do it. This was the schedule as it was presented to us. And today we're talking about being alone. And what I thought we'd do is let's talk about aloneness in respect to what everybody else kind of taught on, and see if we can kind of remember that. And in the bulletin today, or it really wasn't in the bulletin, I kind of threw it together last night, and I would get this afterwards. There's a little sheet of paper that has the table we're going to go through. But Earl talked about failure, which was really about trusting in him, right? Or getting perspective. I talked about doomed, right? We remember saying doomed, and how we could bring a feelings of feeling doomed to God's word, right? Bringing those feelings, those two truths, the truth with the lie together. And then Mike talked about being worthless, and he talked about taking specific steps of faith that when you feel worthless is taking specific steps of faith to who you really are in Christ. And Dean talked about being unwanted and that we need to draw near to God and he'll show us how wanted we really are. Chris talked about being overwhelmed and how we should lean on one another. In fact, we did an exercise at the end of that time. And for me, we're going to talk about being alone and how all of those things apply. So these are the things we're going to talk about today, each of those areas in terms of aloneness. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, we thank you so much for we're not alone when we trust in you. We're not alone. We're not by ourselves. You were always present. You're always there. You're always, said, you'll never be alone. You said you'd be with us to the end of the age, Lord. And we ask that you show us even that today. Show us that that's true today, Lord. Whether we have sicknesses or we're cold or we're thinking about Christmas, we're thinking about the snow, Lord, you're with there right now. And I ask that you would show that to each of us today. In your name. So, when I thought about being alone, I thought about this. There's a song out there called All By Myself. And the person is talking about relationships specifically. And we can be alone in different parts of our lives, if you really think about it. When we talk about being alone, it's really a feeling of absence for a need of a person or relationship that needs to be filled in. And we could feel perfectly fine in the area of, for example, a romantic relationship, but feel alone in a different area. For example, you might, if your a parent had passed away when you were very young, you might feel alone in that area, but fulfilled in another. So aloneness can be in it's not just a single state. It's in various, when we feel lonely, it's in various areas, it can be in various or different areas of our lives, right? So there's a romantic relationship, there's a mother to a child, or a father to a child, maybe feeling like you don't have a mentor in whatever you're pursuing, like a career or in ministry. In my field of expertise, for example, maybe you feel alone in ministry, like I'm doing this all by myself. Or it may be in friendship, like there's no one, no, I don't have enough peers. There aren't peers that really can relate to me or that are going through the same things I'm going through, so you might feel alone in that. And so you feel this emptiness due to an absence. And those are kind of, when I talk about loneliness or feeling alone, that's kind of what we're talking about. So there's three different areas that we can be alone in. And one of the more common ones, I'll say, is alone by choice. And we are alone because we push people away. And we say, you know, people really are kind of a pain to be around, so we'd rather be by myself, is maybe how you feel. Or maybe we're pushing people away. Maybe we're kind of a pain to be around. Introverts tend to do this. I'm an introvert, and we gain strength from being alone. And so there'll be times where we feel like I need to be alone just to gain some strength. Like a hermit would be an ultimate introvert, right? So to avoid being, and the reason they do that is they've rejected society. They wanted to be alone on purpose. That's an excellent example of alone by choice. For whatever reason. Some people, when they want to be alone, they put a hood over their head, and you see this a lot with young people. They don't want the world to touch them, and that's a safe place to be when we're alone. And sometimes we're alone to just be with someone else, like we want to be have our quiet time. We want to be with God. We want to pray. For example, in this verse that we reference here, Jesus did that, and He sent the crowds away, it says in this verse, and he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. So there are normal purposes for being alone. There might be some by our choice, because we choose to be alone for different purposes. There's things we have to do alone, and so on. So those are kind of what I would call normal things, though some of them might not be good choices. Then there's alone by circumstance. So those are things that are outside of your control. So this could be in many areas, like some of the relationship things we talked about. We could be alone in different parts of our lives, like talking about the feeling of an absence of a need of a person or relationship, such as the ones that we just talked about, like relationship or mother or father or parent or a mentor, whatever that might be, a friendship. We know this happens. For example, Job is an example. If you ever read the book of Job, it's an example where he was just kind of walking around and all this stuff happened to him. His entire family was taken away from him, all his material goods, and that was happened to him. He didn't say, you know, today I think I'll be left alone. I don't want any of my family around. That's not what happened. They were all taken away, right? So that's an example of a person being left alone and it actually happened to them. It's also an example where God allowed it to happen, right? He allowed that to happen in Job's life. But God doesn't want us to be alone. In fact, that was not his original intent. In fact, he says, be fruitful and multiply. And at the beginning of Genesis, he doesn't say, so I want you to be fruitful and multiply so you can go off and be by yourselves, so you can be together. That was not his intent. For example, in this verse that is referenced here, then the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. So he says it's not good. It's not a good thing for him to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. So it's not good to be totally alone. We are designed for relationships. That's the purpose of the church. That's the purpose why we have families. That's the purpose why all of those things we need. We understand that we can't be totally alone. God, in the New Testament, God commands us to love one another, not sit in a vacuum or be lone ranger Christians, right? So we're to be together. The final area that we tend to be alone in might be because we stand alone. We take an unpopular position, like we stand up for our faith, or we stand up for what is right, or up against a bully, or for the oppressed. You're persecuted for some reason for your stand of Jesus, and that's also promised. For example, in this verse that suggests, it says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, and that might mean imprisonment or being alone or separated out or attacked personally, and that could certainly make you feel alone. For example, the one example I was thinking was Mike Cater, and he's been to our church and talked with us about his work in India and Nepal, and he was imprisoned for about 3 months, I think it was 3 months, because the government, it's against the law to preach the gospel in India, and so he was arrested and he was there for 3 months. They said it was a different reason, but that was not the case. Now he's in Nepal doing that. And he was, again, arrested. He was alone because he, well, what he believed was the right thing to do. There's a good example of that. You might happen that. The same thing might happen in Nepal someday. You may have or will stand alone in persecution if you decide to follow Christ. That is a real possibility. So what does God say when we're alone by choice, or we're alone by circumstances, or some combination of both? What is it? What if we're alone because of our ministry? And I decided to, again, look at the five previous teachings and show how we can use all of that, what we have learned. And if you haven't heard the teachings, haven't heard what we've gone through, I understand, not everybody was here. You can go online to our webpage and listen to any of these to catch up. What did each of the teachings talk about in those areas? And so that's what we're going to talk about. So the first one is we're going to take on Earl here. Earl was first, and he talked about feeling like a failure. And one of the main messages I got out of that was that we should trust in Him no matter what happens. So I was sharing a few weeks ago. I felt alone when things at work were getting out of control, or with Janelle's sickness and now my own sickness. And yet the Lord challenged me to trust Him. And one of the verses that really spoke to me was this one: "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me." And that's Christ talking specifically. And I felt it was directly to me. Earl shared how he and Paula basically at one point had nothing, riding in a truck around the country and alone, because they did what they thought the Lord wanted. They said they felt like failures. Earl shared that. They had gotten into a ministry and gave all their heart to it, only to have to leave it because they morally could not stay there anymore. They stood for what they believed in and ended up alone because of it. There's no doubt about that. Where is God in all this? Bless you. What does God have to say to all that? So, one of the verses that he had shared was in John 21:15-19. And this is where he's restoring Peter. Remember, Peter denied him three times. And so here, he's asking him, "Do you love me?" Right? Three times he asked him. And so this is John 21:15. "So that when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' And he said, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he asks him, and he says, 'Tend my lambs.' And he says this three times. And he says, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go.' Now this he said, signifying what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Peter felt probably pretty alone and probably like a failure. Alone, doing his ministries, but he was back with Jesus. And what does Jesus say? Jesus doesn't say, he doesn't just say, "I'm with you," but he says, "Follow me." So before you can fellowship with others and lead them, you need to trust me first. That's what he's saying. He's saying, if you're going to be my rock, my foundation of my church, follow me. Trust in me first. Trust in me first. So he didn't. So when we think about being alone, because we've taken a stand for Christ, he doesn't say, "Well, you're not only am I with you," but he says, "Trust me and follow me, because this is where the action is. This is what I promised." And as he led Paula and Earl to us as a church, so he will lead you out of this loneliness to himself first, then to that fulfillment. But he's saying, trust in him. The other verse that Earl shared was, let us hold unwaveringly to the hope that we confess, for the one who made the promise is trustworthy. Trust in him. if you feel alone or if you feel like a failure or whatever you feel like. The next one was if we feel doomed. And this was what I talked about. And I find if I just open his word and it speaks to me, right, that when we learned that when we feel doomed or destined for destruction for various reasons, we can apply that feeling also to be feeling alone. When I feel alone or feel anything bad, I open God's word. And maybe you listen to it on your iPhone or read it on your laptop or whatever it is. But there's maybe a verse of the day from the program you're using. Just open it somehow and open your heart and see how that meets the need. Often I'll struggle. When in that struggle, I'll memorize those verses because it applies to me so much. And the verses that I want to share is the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And as I do this, I find that God is faithful to help calm, encourage, and understand me in my struggle. I feel like he personally put that verse there for me. So this is God's word, kind of. Now, if you're feeling alone, you would, God's word just cuts right through it. So even if now you're feeling like I feel alone, you might come across this verse and says, "Fear not." This is in Isaiah 41:10. "Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you in my righteous right hand. If I choose to be alone," he answers and said, "I am your God. If I am alone because of my circumstances," he says, "I am with you. I am the great I am. And if I stand as a result, because of the stand, I'm alone. I find myself alone because I've stood up for righteousness," he says, "I will help you and uphold you." And the lesson here is trust him, and he will, and then learn from him in this area of loneliness or whatever feeling you might have. The next person that talked was Mike, and he talked about worthlessness, stepping out for him and stepping out in faith. Mike said that when we feel worthless, we could crawl up in a ball and sit in a corner, right? And you can do that with any of these feelings. Oh, I'm doomed, or I'm failure, or I'm alone. I could just sit in a corner, be by myself, feeling sorry for myself. Or we can actually act like we really do have value and then act on it. It's kind of like stepping out of faith. I don't feel like I have any worth, but I'll act like I do. As a lad believes, so he is, right? The world says you are to be a loner. Thus, you should be alone, like Clint Eastwood. Yeah. Right? Just quiet. Lots of pain and sorrow. We should hold it in. Well, that's Satan's plan, is to divide and conquer. But to step up in faith means you take action despite what the circumstances are. Even if you're alone, even if you have been abandoned, don't do what everyone else is doing. The verse he shared was, and this is from that particular version, was from Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Thus you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasant and perfect. And the contents of this topic here today, you will be able to discern your value and recognize God's will for you, right? And then you'll be able to take steps of faith in what you know to be true, despite what you feel. And see how God can transform you into what he knows you are. When you step out, you will find that what God has in store for you, if you're alone, by choice, God says being alone on purpose to just run away is not good. Be with people who love you. If you have been left alone, God says don't act like you are abandoned. Show others how I have loved you, child of the living God. If you have stood up for righteousness and because of that you stand alone, you would not be there if you didn't believe in me already. Stand firm in your faith. Act like men. And be strong. Be what you are called to be. Walk, talk, and be in the light as he is in the light. Then you will have fellowship with one another. That's a promise. Next one was Dean talked about being unwanted. And the area that I learned or gleaned from that was drawing near to him when we might feel unwanted. And the two verses that he shared were James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And Hebrews 4:16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Like now, with my cough. Dean shared these two verses, and quite simply, if you feel alone because of sin you have done or have been done to you, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's the answer. You will find grace. If you are alone by choice, draw near to him to reveal why you chose it. If you're alone by your circumstances, draw near to him because he cares about you. He wants to fill that void. The only he can fill with grace. We try to fill it with other things, and that doesn't work. If you are alone because of ministry, you should already be near him. Don't back away now. Get alone with him, and he will reveal his whole plan. Then, of course, we had Chris, and that was great teaching. It was that's where I learned that whelmed was a word. And from overwhelmed, I didn't realize that whelmed itself was a word. And he says, were never made to go it alone. Lean on each other. And that's the kind of the message got from him. So two are better than one. This is from Ecclesiastes 4:9 through 10. Because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, no one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and there's another one to lift him up. If we choose to be alone, then it's really kind of our own fault. When we fall and feel even worse because there's no one to pick us up. Seek out your brothers and sisters in Christ. They don't want to be alone either, right? We can be wounded by family, yes, but that is what family is all about. Are you alone because of circumstances? Seek help, as we did in the exercise last week. This allows others to bear others' burdens and obey the verses. They can actually obey some of the verses that say, bear another's burdens. That's why you're there, to be the subject of the obedience. That's how the body of Christ functions, and so much better together. Are you alone because of ministry? Seek the prayer and support of others. Mike Cater did, Earl and Paula did, and you can too. They found compassion and fulfillment in a place to belong. I'm going to close with, this is a Faith Walkers from December 9th, and this is Shirley Ferguson, and I really thought this was very good in relation to seeking others out. It's called Martha-ness, and it starts with a verse from Luke 10:42. Martha has chosen the good part. She says, I am a Martha at heart. I would be rather be in the background serving than in the crowd, socializing. At a woman's event, I would rather be serving the tea than sitting at a table talking. Social events make me shake in my shoes. The idea of hanging with the girls, unless I'm the hostess, so I can be busy serving, not talking, is terrifying. I have perfected my Martha-ness throughout the years. When the kids were little, there were children to chase after instead of talking. As the kids grew older, there was always something I needed to do, some ministry in which I could help, another thing that needed to be done. How often I have done babysitting so I could hide out with the kids. I can be the very productive while hiding. But in the midst of all that production, all that reveling about in my Martha-ness, I always come to realize that I am lonely. As Jesus pointed out to Martha, it is so much better to sit at his feet, to be with people, not hiding in the kitchen. I need relationships first and foremost with God, but also with people. Too many times I get so busy for God that I have no time for people, and God is so about people. I need to learn to put aside my Martha-ness a little and take the time to invest in lives. This doesn't mean that I will suddenly excel in social situations. I don't think I ever will, she says. But it doesn't mean that I make an effort to talk. But it does mean that I make an effort to talk to at least one person after church. And you, maybe get together with a friend or two. Don't avoid church or women's events. Serve indeed, but don't hide. Pray for strength and words. We Marthas need it. And what I conclude from that is being alone is safe, but you're still alone. So that's today, and I want to leave you with this verse. The Lord, as we talk about all these different things, and I would get a copy of this sheet, which is available there and on the, over there, the bulletins. And I'll just close with this verse. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Let's pray, and then we'll have a break in break time. Lord, we thank you so much for that we're not alone, that we can trust in you, we can step out in faith for you, that you are there in our aloneness. Whether we choose it, it's by circumstances, or if we have stood for something righteous and are being persecuted, Lord. We, in all these areas and all these things that we've talked about in all these many weeks, help us to seek and draw near to you and seek one another and not be by ourselves, Lord. I ask that we'd be unified today, and that even today, after the service, that we talk to one other person. In your name we pray.
Morning, everyone. There have been a couple times in my life, I don't know about you guys, where deep friendships have formed around one person. You ever have that where your group of friends kind of all come together because they're all mutual friends with one incredible person, and you guys all form this bond together, and usually there's a sense of camaraderie there for me, and we'll go away and we'll go on mission together and we'll do a thing, whether it's been witnessing to people or making a movie where you're just kind of locked away from society and it's just you and those people for a while and you're together and you bond. I was thinking about this morning we're breaking bread, and imagine that you're with this friend and you're all together and you're having dinner and you're really excited. It's another dinner with you guys, and you kind of look over and your friend's really quiet. And you don't know what's up, and all of a sudden he kind of looks up and he says, "Guys, I need to leave. I need to go away. I'm going to go now." And all of you start kind of looking at each other like, what is he talking about? And this is what happened the night Jesus was betrayed. He was sitting with 11 of his best friends, 12. One of them was actually going to rat him out and get him killed. And he said, "Guys, I have to leave. I have to go away." And he started to explain to them. He took time to explain. I wish we had time to talk about it, but in John, there's four chapters where he just lays out, here's what eternal life looks like, and here's what I want you to do, as I have done. He just kind of reminds them of the relational aspect of the covenant that God is making with them. And he said, let's do a couple things to remember that. And he, as they were eating the last part of their Passover meal, he took some bread and they ate it. He said, "Remember this in a certain way." And he took some of the wine. He said, "Let's drink this together and remember this in a certain way, that this is a new covenant." And it's been a way for over 2,000 years that we've remembered the new covenant and the bond that we have together. And if you can imagine the story happening, their best friend leaving and going away, and the miraculous things that he did later, and the sorrow that happened, and the joy that happened when he found out he was alive. And then some time passes, a couple years pass, and these men who were all friends together become the leaders of the early church. And they all go in their various places where the Lord has called them, and they start building new churches. And these are the original people who were sitting in the room, and they start doing this to remember, and they have a new brother or sister in their midst, someone who's very new to the faith, just got baptized. And they go, "Hey, Philip, why do we drink wine and break bread this way?" And Philip goes, "Well, let me tell you. And that gets passed down for almost 2,000 years until it gets to, well, not 2,000 years later, but eventually Paul says, hey, I want to pass on to you what I originally received. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So this is the time now that we're going to come together and remember what Christ has done for us, bond together as a family. This is a time for families, if your children are participating, to remind them of the somberness of what we're doing and the thing we're remembering, and to teach and instruct. So how we do this together, just I'm looking over at the amount of people here. So we'll have this column of pews and this column of pews all come to this table here. You'll go from first row to last, this column of pews. First row to last to this table. So come up and receive the bread and the drink. Come back together. And as you eat and drink, if you feel free to lift a praise or a prayer to the Lord, feel free to do so. It will be a benefit to your brothers and sisters. So we'll go ahead and do that right now. Come up, first rows, and receive the bread and the drink. Father, may you continue to glorify your name as you glorified your Son and gave us to him. Continue to show your faithfulness, Father, and help us to, as we leave this place today, to continually remember you and to tell others why we remember you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, now that we have broken bread together, let's go ahead and continue to sing to the Lord and worship his name as a family.